But before we do that, before we take them up one by one for consideration, I want to discuss the meaning of this term or this word school in the context of Buddhism, especially in the context of Tibetan Buddhism. Now, I select this word school deliberately, and I use it in preference to the word sect. The word sect has got a rather unpleasant sort of connotation. If you say that someone is sectarian-minded, it isn't very complimentary. So we try to avoid this word sect and speak instead of school. But we might equally well speak of tradition. We might equally well speak in terms of the four great or four major traditions of Tibetan Buddhism. These English words are the best that we have at our disposal, but they're not really satisfactory, because we usually think of a sect or a school of any religion as being somehow exclusive in membership and doctrine, that if you're a member of one, you can't be a member of another, and that what one teaches, the other doesn't teach. It even contradicts it, as in the case of some of the Christian churches, for instance. But it isn't like that in Indian Buddhism. If we study Indian Buddhism, if we try to trace the rise and the fall, the development and the flowering of the different lines of tradition, the different schools as we call them, or even sects as some scholars call them, we find it's very, very difficult. We find that they are continually overlapping, that one is flowing into another, that the lines of transmission cross, and so on. And you can never, in the case of Indian Buddhism at least, as you will identify at one particular school very clearly or very definitely. It's always shading off into a certain other school, or into even several other schools, so that you can't say definitely, in the case of certain great teachers, whether they were of this particular school or whether they were rather of another school. And in the West we tend to find this rather bewildering, because in the West, in the religious context, we're accustomed to rather clear-cut divisions. If you study the history of Christianity, if you study, say, the history of the Church all down the centuries, well, you know that someone was, say, Roman Catholic, or someone was Greek Orthodox, or someone was Methodist, or someone was Baptist. These are all clear, sharply cut divisions. But with Indian Buddhism, it isn't like that. And you'll get a dispute, for instance, as to whether Maitreyanatha, the great author of the five treatises, was in fact a Madhyamika, or whether he was a Yogacharin. It seems very difficult to say, because his works strike a sort of beautiful balance between these two viewpoints. So this is the Indian tradition, the Indian Buddhist tradition. Indian Buddhism is not sectarian. Schools exist, but they're not very sharply defined. And something of this kind we find also in Tibetan Buddhism, because Tibetan Buddhism tends to follow, sometimes almost slavishly follow, the Indian pattern.